Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, and earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Management from Florida State University. At 5'8", 180 pounds, he played cornerback for 8 seasons in the NFL and won a Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins in 1992. After retiring, he earned a law degree from Georgetown University. Today, he's the Detroit Lions General Manager, Senior Vice President, and is credited as being the architect of their terrific turnaround. His name, Martin Mayhew, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Martin Mayhew, Detroit Lions Senior Vice President and General Manager. Martin, what an honor to have you.
Glad to be here. Thanks for
having
me.
And first, you've been the architect of this tremendous turnaround of the Lions. Thanks for doing it, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It has been a group effort, though. I mean, everybody's worked very hard to make all these things happen, so we're really excited as a group for our accomplishments so far.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Okay. Well, you know, my mom and my dad were both obviously very instrumental in me growing up and still very important parts of my life. They divorced when I was young, but my dad was very involved, and I spent a lot of time in summers down in South Florida with him, and have a group of friends from South Florida, a group of friends from Tallahassee where I grew up. But, you know, I mean, they both were strong Christians, strong believers, and both were very in tune to the importance of a solid education. And that was really, just ingrained in us from being very young, my sister and I.
What's the biggest thing, Martin, you learned from your mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
I'll start with my mom. Probably the biggest thing that I learned from her was just that if you put your name on something, it should be done very well and done to the best of your ability. And that was something I learned early on. And anytime, you know, as a kid looking for an easy way out, you know, half doing a job that I was told to do, it was just really reinforced sometimes with corporal punishment that you had to do things right. And that if you were going to say that you did it, it was a job that you did, you better do a really good job at it, or at least give it 100% of your best effort to make it a very good job. So from my dad, probably the biggest thing that I learned from my dad was that it's important to be accountable. When you make a mistake, own up to it. Don't try to hide from it. Just come clean as a man and say, hey, I made a mistake. And people respect that, I think, and that's still something I do to this day.
Martin, as a kid, what sports did you play?
You know what? I was big on football and track. You know, I started out playing a lot of different things, played a little baseball, saw my first curveball in 8th grade, decided baseball was not for me. I played a little basketball, but I wasn't very good at that either. So the things that I was good at were I was very fast. Growing up, I was one of the faster kids in my neighborhood, and that worked out well for our football and track.
Why is it that so many of us could not hit the curveball, but now with the golf stick, we can always hit the curveball?
Yeah.
Where did you get your love for football, and how did you get to Florida State and the Seminoles?
Oh, okay, that's an interesting story. My high school coach is also very influential in my life growing up, and still very influential. Still stay in contact. He texted me during the Super Bowl. We talked by text, as we do nowadays. But he came in my freshman year. I was on the JV, and our varsity was 0-10. They didn't win a game. And my high school coach came in my sophomore year and turned the program around. And I was part of that process. I was a sophomore. I started as a sophomore, junior, and senior. He worked diligently as hard as he could to try to get me a college scholarship to play football. I was undersized, and he really helped me to get a scholarship, and he gave me roles on the team to try to you know, make myself more marketable, you know. So he really made me love the game of football and taught me to love it.
You've been blessed to have played with some great coaches, for some great coaches. College, the incomparable Bobby Bowden. Talk about dadgummit Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, one of the best ever. Great coach, great man, great example as a leader, family man, strong Christian values. He just really, really was a great coach to play for. More of an offensive coach, so really from a scheme and a teaching standpoint, he spent more time on the offensive side of the ball. But he was a great example for us as young men of how to be excellent at something. He really worked very hard at it. He was very innovative, very creative. He was willing to change. He was a man of his word. If he told you something, he stuck to it. And he was a great coach to play for.
You played a corner, and opposite you on the other corner was a guy named Neon Deion Sanders. What was he like in college?
Oh, he was a good one. I recall redshirting my freshman year. Freshman year when I actually got to play. There's another redshirt freshman who was starting across from me named Eric Williams. So Eric and I both started some games. Going to our redshirt sophomore year, we figured we had it locked down for the next 4 years. And we get to two-a-days, and a guy named Deion Sanders comes in. We figured out pretty soon somebody had to sit down because that kid was going to play. So we kind of rotated on and off as starters the rest of our college careers. But he was a heck of a player. You could see that from day one, heck of a physical talent. What people don't understand or realize is he's one of the hardest working guys in terms of conditioning, training, technique that I've ever been around. People think that he's just God-given talent, but he worked really hard at it. I remember going into my senior year, and that summer I was going to be a senior, had a chance to go pro, I thought, and realizing at some point during the summer that he, going into his junior year, was working harder than I was working. So he's a tremendous talent, but also a guy that got the most out of his ability.
We're talking to Martin Mayhew. When we come back, we'll ask him about his pro career. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Martin Mayhew. And after he graduated from Florida State, he got drafted in 1988 by the Buffalo Bills, Mr. Ralph Wilson, in the 10th round. Martin, what did they pay you?
Well, that year, my salary was $50,000. I had a split contract. If I was on the active roster, I'd have made $65,000, but I broke my wrist in training camp. So I made $50,000, and they gave me $14,000 to sign up front.
When you draft these players come May this year for the Lions, what will you be paying those people?
Well, the minimum now is pushing $400,000 for a first year for a rookie player. So salaries have gone up pretty dramatically over the last 20 years or so. But it's well-deserved. The guys really, they put a lot at stake taking that field, and they have short careers.
It's just more zeros, Martin. You know, it's just more zeros. So, in 1989, you get signed with the Redskins, and you play from 89 till 92 for the Redskins, and you win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Talk about your experience with the Redskins and playing for Coach Joe Gibbs.
Well, it was great. It was a great honor playing for Marv Levy, or being on that team with Marv Levy. The 1 year was great in Buffalo, but then going from Bobby Bowden to Marv Levy to Joe Gibbs, I've been around some great coaches. And playing for Coach Gibbs, he was a lot like Coach Bowden in that he was also a strong Christian, family man, strong sense of values, very close to his players, very well-respected, very knowledgeable about the game. So that was a great situation to be in. And it really has kind of molded my experience as a GM, because I recall those teams with the Redskins, and those are the teams that I enjoyed playing for the most, and those were the teams that had the most success. And so when I look at putting our team together, I frequently can reflect back to those Redskin teams.
On January 26, 1992, Super Bowl 26, the Redskins beat the team that drafted you, the Buffalo Bills, 37-24. Talk about that experience.
Oh, it was a tremendous experience. The Super Bowl, World Championship. It was a great season. We started off 11-0, lost to the Cowboys at home, ran the table the rest of the way. The last game of the season, we were playing the Eagles and pulled our starters, and they ended up kicking the field goal as time expired to win it. So that was a great football team. Everybody had a role, not a lot of superstars, just a lot of good, solid football players who understood their role. So it was a fun time. I mean, in Washington, the 4 years I was there, we went to the playoffs three times, And the 1 year that we didn't go, we went 10-6 and just didn't make it. So those were good teams.
In talking a few weeks ago together, you talked about leadership in the locker room. And that's one of the things you wanted to bring when you were named GM 3 years ago. Talk about the leadership in that Redskins locker room.
Definitely. Critical part of the Redskins' success was the leaders that the team had, the vets that had been there the whole time from the Hogs, Russ Grimm, Jeff Bostic, Joe Jacoby, to Monty Coleman, one of the great linebackers that played there, played with Mel Kaufman, Doug Williams, Daryl Green, Charles Mann. There's so many examples. Ernest Biner, I go on and on, Art Monk, But seeing as a young player coming into that locker room with those guys, you knew what you had to do to be a great pro. Contrast that to my time in Tampa when I went down to the Buccaneers, and that's changed for the Bucs now. But when I got to the Bucs in 1993, there were not a lot of great examples in that locker room. And so, I look back at the Redskin experience as what I'm trying to develop here in Detroit. We want to have that kind of leadership in the locker room.
Talking about the Bucs, you were with them from 93 to 96. Now, they did have one great leader, at least, and that was Tony Dungy. Talk about Tony Dungy.
Oh, he was a great coach to play for, one of the greats of all time. Again, the list of guys I've been around has been pretty exceptional as far as coaches, head coaches. Now, when I got there in 93, Sam Weich was the head coach, who also went to 2 Super Bowls with Cincinnati. But he was the head coach my first 3 years. Coach Dungy was there my last year. And I'm just so honored to have been there and had the opportunity to play with Coach Dungy. He was a dream team type of staff with Rob Marinelli coaching defensive line, Lovie Smith coaching linebackers, Herm Edwards coaching defensive backs. Monty Kiffin was a coordinator. In the front office, you had Rich McKay, you had Tim Roskell. You had guys who went on, Mark Dominic, who became GMs from that front office, Jerry Angelo. So it was a pretty impressive organization, although at the time we had no idea. We did not know. We were not winning yet, so we had no idea. But it was really a launching point for a lot of careers in the NFL.
Martin Mayhew, Tony Dungy, never swears, never curses, very soft-spoken. And in this world of the NFL with all these egos and mayhem, how was it he was so successful and so humble?
Well, he was so well-respected in the locker room. And even though he wasn't a yeller and a screamer, I've been around yellers and screamers, at some point that becomes less effective. He could reach you and he could get to you without doing all that. And you knew, even though he wasn't a yeller and a screamer, you did not mess around with Tony Dungy. He was a tough guy. And what he said, when he said something, he meant it. And you didn't want to question anything that Coach Dungy said or challenge him on anything, because he would make you accountable.
While you were with the Redskins, you quietly made a decision to go to Georgetown University to start to get a law degree. Why did you ever do that? Not many NFLers were doing that at the time or currently.
Yeah, you know what? It just was something that I was aware of the opportunity because of guys like Mark Murphy before me, Brig Owens before me also went to law school there. So the opportunity was there. I felt I would get in, did well in the LSATs and things like that. So I knew I could get into Georgetown. And, the offseason for me was sort of difficult because I like to be busy. I like to have things going on. I don't like just sitting around. And, working out for 4 hours a day and going to the mall wasn't getting it for me. So I was looking for a challenge, and the opportunity was there. And I'm glad that I did that.
Martin Mayhew, you've been involved with the NFL for 25-plus years. Who's the best you've ever seen in those 25 years?
Probably for me as a corner, I have to say, God gave me hard times, was Jerry Rice. And he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best ever recognized, one of the better receivers of all time. But he gave me some tough times, and he was hard to cover. He was a complete player. He had speed. He had power. He ran good routes. He had good hands. He was a smart player. He blocked. He was an all-around complete threat. Every single play, he could do something that would hurt you. So he was definitely one of the best. The other two guys I would think of immediately were two guys I really was in awe of. One, Barry Sanders. Just phenomenal. When he was stopped, he wasn't stopped. And you had to have 11 guys going and trying to tackle him and gang tackle him because he could beat anybody one-on-one. He was just a ball of muscle. He had speed, hard to get down, and he was just a threat, constant threat. If he was on the field, you had to know where he was and what he was doing all the time. The other guy, another Hall of Famer, Joe Montana. You know, Joe Montana was one of the most accurate guys, made quick decisions, found a weakness in the coverage every time. He was a winner, you know. Those three guys probably would be the best players that I recall playing against, just because they all were dangerous in their own way and they all were complete players.
Steve Young talks about that once in a great while, a player comes along that tilts the field. Sayers, Butkus, Sanders, Montana, Rice, et cetera, et cetera. Kelvin Johnson. So, Martin Mayhew, what does football teach us about life?
Wow, it teaches you so much. I mean, it's so much like life. You know, you make sacrifices. You know, you perform as part of a team. If you do that, the whole team can win. If you swallow your pride and play your role, the whole team can win. You know, you get in what you get out what you put in. You know, you put the effort in, you put the time in, you study your playbook, you learn your assignments, you go out, you perform well. If you don't do those things, you don't get anything out of it. So it's a lot like life in general, I think. There are tough times you go through, and you battle through those, and you come out the other side, you know, and then sometimes things are great when things are, but if you let your guard down when things are great, then bad things can happen to you. So it's a lot like life in general, I think. It's sort of a microcosm of living and kind of what life is.
After you retire, you get this law degree from Georgetown University, and then in 2001, you get hired by the Lions as their senior vice president. How did that ever happen?
You know, it's funny. People ask me all the time, well, how did you, because, you know, I talk to young people who want to get into the NFL, and they say, well, how did you get to where you are? I want to kind of follow your path. And you know what? I tell them, you got to play with a guy who gets a GM job. That's the way I got my job, you know. And despite, you know, what I thought, I had great credentials, 9 years playing, Georgetown law degree. I wasn't getting a sniff until my buddy, Matt Millen, got his job. Matt got a job. Matt called me out of the blue. I was at the XFL at the time. Had an opportunity to work for a law firm and just wanted to be around football. The best opportunity I could find was in the XFL. So I did that for about 7 months. Got a call from Matt. And Matt told me he got this job and he wanted me to come with him. And that's how it happened.
We're talking to Martin Mayhew. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. And we're with Martin Mayhew, who was hired by the Lions in 2001 as their senior vice president. And then in 2008, December 29th, you became the general manager. You replaced Martin, or you replaced Matt Millen. Martin, you've been around some great leaders. Bobby Bowden, Marv Levy, Joe Gibbs, Sam Weich, Tony Dungy. What do all great leaders have in common?
You know, it's, in my opinion, it's pretty simple. Great leaders have something that makes people want to follow them. And it could be something different for each guy. You know, Tony Dungy is a totally, totally different guy than Marv Levy is. I mean, it's just totally different worlds that those guys come from. But they both have that something, that it factor, you know, and I think Jim Schwartz has it too. There's an it factor that attracts people to them and makes people want to follow them.
When you got hired by Mr. Ford, the naysayer says, what are we doing? This guy doesn't have the experience, doesn't have the pedigree. He's a protege of Matt Millen. Okay, are you kidding me? This is the wrong hire. How did you handle that criticism?
You know, it was a little difficult, you know. I felt that I was being prejudged a little bit. You know, I think people were anticipating something negative. But, you know, I mean, I think you got to have enough self-confidence in yourself. And I knew that there were several things that we could do immediately that would make us a better football team. So there was no doubt in my mind coming off 0-16, we would be better in 2009. So, I've always been a very self-confident person. And I've always been the kind of person that when they're naysayers or non-believers or whatever, I've always felt comfortable doing what I felt was right. And that's been pretty successful for me.
One of the first decisions you made was a huge decision. You hired Jim Schwartz from the Titans. What did you see in Jim Schwartz?
Well, there were a lot of things with Jim. First and foremost, we saw the game in a very similar fashion. When I sat down and talked to him about the type of team that he would want to build, it was sort of like the team that I wanted to build. And the things that were important to him with the football team were things that I felt were important. But the other thing with Jim was that he was a contemporary of mine. You know, I mean, we're close to the same age, same situation family-wise, as far as the age of our kids and that kind of thing. So we kind of vibed from that standpoint. But also, he just had a tremendous wealth of experience for a guy his age, you know, having been in scouting, having worked in scouting, worked for Bill Belichick, having been around those guys in the past. And then also his experience moving up the ladder from a quality control guy to a position coach to a coordinator, having been in Super Bowls, having had down seasons because of the salary cap, having some salary cap issues and working through that process from a personnel standpoint. He just was very well-rounded and very experienced for a young guy. And we also, like I said, hit it off from a football standpoint.
3 years later, with a lot of success, what has surprised you the most about Jim Schwartz?
You know, probably his perspective, you know, because having, you know, been around the NFL and being around coaches, a lot of them, especially during the season, have a mentality of what can we do to win this game? And they will cut anybody, you know, make any roster move, any roster change, any scheme, anything to win that game on Sunday. And Jim, although he definitely has a hunger to win every single game, has a big picture perspective of where we are as an organization, where we are as a football team. He has a really good feel for how to build a team, how to develop a roster, and the things that are important in that process. And he respects that process. So that's probably would be the biggest surprise.
Martin Mayhew, you are the architect of the Detroit Lions' terrific turnaround. In 2008, we were 0-16. You take over. 2009, 2-14. 2010, 6-10. Then this past year, 10-6. We make the playoffs. How did it happen?
You know, usually those kinds of things, when they happen, it's the culmination of a lot of hard work from a lot of hardworking people. And that's exactly what happened here. Everybody from our players, obviously, coaching staff, our scouting department, we've all been focused on one goal, that's winning football games. And we haven't been distracted by egos or by any other things that come into play. There's been a singular focus of the organization, and that is getting better, and that's winning football games. And when we do that, as we have the past few years, the results speak for themselves. But I can't say enough about the people that have the privilege of working with every day with the Lions and about our ownership. It really is, you know, a dream opportunity, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
In business today, it's what did you do for me? Not yesterday. What did you do for me this morning? And Christmas Eve, we played Saturday night. We won. We get into the playoffs. And that evening, Jim Schwartz is interviewed, and he says, quote, "We'll celebrate tonight. But our goal is to get to where we expect to get to the playoffs every year." Well, that's what you've created in this town. What are you going to do to try your best to make that again in the 2012 season?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about that challenge, and I want to be that kind of team. And there's some teams that are like that. You know, Patriots, they talk about in that way, Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, there are a number of teams that you pretty much expect that those teams are going to be in the playoffs. And when they're not in the playoffs, you're surprised. We want to be one of those teams. And so we're going to do the same thing that we've been doing the entire time. When Jim and I first started off on this, you know, back in 2009, people would ask about goals and how we want to get here and get there. And our mantra has always been, we want to keep getting better every day, keep getting better every week, keep getting better every month. And we're at the same place now. We have to be better than 10-6, have to be better than 9-7, have to be a better football team than that. We got to be a 13, 14, 15 game, 15 win type of team. And that's our goal. And we'll just keep trying to work to get better every step along the way. The next thing for us is going to be free agency. Then our draft, and we want to improve our talent level. Our coaches are working very hard looking at players now, as our scouts have been doing. And we're looking at improving the talent on our roster right now. And we'll keep doing that every day, every week, every month.
In the NFL, the better your record the previous year, the tougher schedule you have. So next year, of course, we play the Packers twice, the Bears twice, Minnesota twice. But we've got the Cardinals, the 49ers, the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Rams, the Seahawks, Carolina, Cam Newton, the Texans, and the Colts. Talk about next season's schedule.
Well, it's a challenge, you know, and it's always a challenge. And when I first got in the NFL, you know, back in 2000, 2001, I'd pull that schedule out and I'd look at it and go, oh, we probably beat those guys. And this might be a loss. These guys are tough. That might be a... I stopped that after a couple of years because you just never know. You never know who's going to be good. You never know who's going to be bad. You never know how you're going to be playing at that point in the year. You're going to be playing your best football or playing your worst, you know. If you look at our season last year, we started off hot. We had sort of a lull in the middle. Some tough opponents in the lull in the middle, and then we finished off stronger. And then obviously we lost the last couple of games. The schedule in the NFL is always tough. And it's all about lining up that Sunday and who can be the best that Sunday. And that's the way I look at our schedule coming up this year. I don't look at it as being any easier, any tougher than last year's schedule. We're going to line up on Sunday and try to beat whoever we have to play that Sunday.
This success that we've come to expect now has been a long time coming for the Lions fans. Jason Hansen's been here 20 years. Dominic Raiola, 11. Jeff Backus, 11. Talk about those three warriors and the fight and the persistence of those three players.
Well, first, Jason Hansen. In our personnel meetings the last couple of years, we kind of had a general rule that if you were in the league when I was playing, I don't want any part of you. But we make an exception for Jason. And he had a great season this year, really good season for him. He's still got a strong leg. He's still very accurate. He is the most consistent guy, one of the most consistent guys from week to week that I've ever seen. And every Sunday, every Saturday when I walk down during the walkthrough, depending on what time it is, he'll be doing exactly the same thing he was doing the previous Saturday at that time, you know. So he just has a very consistent approach to the game, and it's paid off for him, and we're glad to have him. Dominic and Jeff, you know, one of the great things about this past season was being able to see those guys after some of those wins and being able to see those guys after we clinched the playoffs and how happy that they were, that they finally were able to make it through the tough times and get to a point where we are as a football team. Also, it was great to see our ownership and our owners and how happy they were after that Monday night game against Chicago, after the playoff clinching game. It's great to be a part of that and great to be a part of, having gone through what we went through. It's great to be a part of turning things around.
We're talking to Martin Mayhew, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible. And tonight we're with the Lions Senior VP and General Manager, Martin Mayhew, who's credited with being the architect of this tremendous turnaround these last 3 years. Martin, it's very obvious you and Jim Schwartz really care about these players as men. I remember Bill Walsh, you know, the legendary head coach of the 49ers, after about 10, 11 years with all those young great ones, Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig, etc., Montana, and as they started to get older and slow down a little bit, and he had to let them go, he said that was the toughest thing he ever had to do in football. And at times you have to do that. Talk about that.
That is one of the toughest things, you know, in this business, is that there are friendships, relationships, people who you get to know, players who you respect tremendously for how they prepare, for who they are as people, how they carry themselves. And that ultimately, it is it's cut and dried. You know, it's about winning football games. And you have to make some tough decisions. And we've been through that. I just recall, you know, when I played, I really respected people who were honest with me about my performance and about how I was doing, how I fit into the whole thing. And if I didn't fit in, and they were very honest with me. So I try to approach it that way. I try to sit down with guys, especially guys I've developed a relationship with. I try to sit down with them and tell them why we're letting them go. And if I can help them in any way in the future, I will help them, and how much I respect and appreciate what they've done for us.
Talking of guys, Calvin Johnson, Megatron. Tell us about Calvin Johnson.
Just one of the all-time greats, one of the best I've been around. It reminds me a little bit of Deion, as we talked about him earlier in the show. But tremendously, tremendously physically gifted, but not willing to just rest on that. one of the hardest working guys that we have. And there's nothing better as a GM, or I think probably as a head coach, than to have a guy who's one of your top paid guys who is one of your hardest workers, because that sends the right message to the rest of your football team. Everybody can say, you know, well, I want to do what Calvin does. I want to be a featured part of the offense. You know, I want to be in a Pro Bowl. I want to be one of the leaders on our team. But they have to follow his example if they want to be that. They have to work as hard as he does and be as productive as he is to try to reach those goals. So he's a great, great player and a very important part of our franchise.
Martin Mayhew, you played 8 seasons in the NFL as a cornerback. If you were still playing today, making about $3-4 million, how would you cover Megatron?
I would ask for help immediately. I would definitely need help, you know, and that's the way most of these corners try to cut. Most of these defense coordinators try to double him, you know, play underneath, have somebody over the top, play in and out on him, but they dedicate resources on their defense to stopping Calvin Johnson. And I don't think there's a guy out there that can stop him by himself. The way he played the second half of the season, especially, you know, you go back to that New Orleans game, he was doubled just about every single play, and he still had 12 for 244, I think it was. So he is really playing at a very high level right now, and I don't think there are many defensive backs out there that can handle him one-on-one.
That game against the Bears 2 years ago, how many seconds did he have the ball in the end zone, and they said that was not a catch? And what did you do when they made that decision?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think as a leader, you really have to set an example. And the example that I wanted to set at that time, I mean, we were 0-1. It wasn't like that game kept us out of the playoffs. And I didn't want that play or that game to become so big that it distracted or influenced the rest of our season, you know. So I think we had to accept the ruling as it was on the field. Now, did it make sense? No. To the casual observer or even to myself as a GM, was it a touchdown? Does it look like a touchdown? It smelled like a touchdown, but it wasn't, you know. I think that's a rule that has to be cleaned up somehow. I think there still seems to be a little bit of confusion around the rule, but at the end of the day, it is or it isn't, and the official tells you if it is or it isn't, and he said it wasn't.
Martin Mayhew, what are you like, and how do you watch a Lions football game?
Wow. You know, I mean, it's hard to, I think one thing people don't understand about being the GM, and my experience as GM, is when we hit that field on Sunday and they kick that ball off, I'm like everybody else. I'm just somebody that's watching the game. You know, I don't get a chance to call a play or put a guy in or take a guy out. I'm watching the game, you know, and you have to trust the people who you hired. And that goes for coaches and players. Trust those guys to go out and execute. And at the end of the day, you evaluate kind of what went well, what didn't go well, and you go on from there. But it gets nerve-wracking. It's hard to watch sometimes because you're so out of control. And, you know, frequently during the week or, you know, during the offseason, you're in control, you know. So you're controlling things. But when you hit that field on Sunday, which is the most important time, it's completely out of your hands what happens.
Everybody has an opinion about Mr. William Clay Ford. Tell us about Mr. Ford.
He's just been awesome as an owner. From day one, even before I became GM, just in terms of giving support, unlimited support, trusting the people that he hired to do their jobs. He understands the game. He asks the right questions. Hopefully we have the right answers for him whenever we go back to him with the answers. But he has tremendous respect for what we do as coaches, players, GMs, front office people. And he has really provided a lot of support, financial and otherwise, to accomplish our goals. And it's a great organization to work for. You know, everything from top to bottom, you know, from, you know, our health care that we get, our benefits is top notch, first class all the way. So, you know, it's a shame that we didn't have more wins to back up his great ownership. But he's been a great owner from what I've seen.
Another long-term, Charlie Sanders, Hall of Fame tight end, been with us for over 40 years. Tell us about Charlie Sanders.
Charlie's great, great personnel man, great family man, great dad, you know, got a bunch of kids, and he tells about what's going on in his kids' lives frequently. I have great respect for Charlie. He's one of those guys that played, you know, back in the day, so to speak. So he knows a lot of football. He's been around a lot of football. The great thing about Charlie also, he has experience from a coaching background. He was a coach for the Lions for a while. So he knows some ins and outs, some X's and O's, and he has some thoughts that he has a different, little bit different perspective on scouting at times. But he does a great job for us. Glad to have him with us.
everybody who knows you and anybody who's listened to the show tonight says, wow, this is a very humble man, and this man listens. Listening is wanting to hear. How can I become a great listener?
You know, I think what you have to do to become a great listener is not listen and have some things go wrong on you, and then you'll learn to listen. I don't think you're born innately as a listener. I think that I have strong opinions. I have a lot of self-confidence. And for that reason, I've made a lot of mistakes. But I've learned from the mistakes that I've made that the best thing you can do is put good people around you, listen to their advice. And if you're the only one that's feeling a certain way about a certain thing, and five other people who you trust, who are quality people, who are skilled, think differently, you might want to listen to them and not go off on your own.
Martin Mayhew, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
You know, probably I would just say to them, you know, to find that thing that you're passionate about and go for it and go and enjoy that thing, whatever that thing is that you love to do, you know, whatever career goals that you may have, or, you know, whatever aspiration that you may have from a career standpoint. Maybe you can't make money doing the thing that you love to do, but you're going to love your life a lot better doing what you love doing and doing what you feel passionate about.
Martin Mayhew, this city's turning around before our very eyes. And there's a lot of factors, Danny Gilbert, the Illich family, Peter Karmanos, etc., Mayor Bing. But another factor is the sports teams. And we've had the Red Wings, we've had the Tigers very successful, but this architectural plan that you've done to make us winners again and believe and love the Lions, thanks a million from all of us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Let's go home.